Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Fasting is a concept shared by many faiths, including my own Christian faith, as a way to bring people closer to God. I want to wish Muslims across America and around the world a blessed month as you welcome the beginning of Ramadan.
That's President Barack Obama late last week, commemorating the beginning of Ramadan for America's and worldwide Islam. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. What is Ramadan? I think for those of us who watch it from the outside, looking in, we normally notice it as it coincides sometimes, I guess not all the time, with the wintertime holidays, be they secular or religious, of the largely Christian Western world. But what are Muslims doing for 1 month during Islam's Ramadan? What are they remembering, commemorating, and practicing? We're going to spend the next 10 minutes with Sam Shamoon, a native of Kuwait and a key staff contributor to answering-islam.org, talking about Ramadan. Sam, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
I don't know how the calendar falls or how it's set, but I think we usually associate the timing of Ramadan with the wintertime months, roughly corresponding to Christmas or something like that, and yet here it is late August, and it's already begun. Yeah. What's going on?
Well, because Muslims don't go by a solar calendar. They go by a lunar calendar, and because in a lunar calendar you have less days, the months of Ramadan will change during the course of a Muslim's life, so that At one point in a Muslim's life, he'll be observing Ramadan in the winter, and then he can also then end up observing it in the summer, because they don't go by a solar calendar. They go by a lunar calendar. That's why.
What are is it right to call it a celebration, or is something being celebrated by worldwide Islam during Ramadan?
Well, Ramadan is the month that the Quran prescribes for Muslims to fast as an act of worship to Allah. Now, there is celebration in this month in that after the sun sets during the month of Ramadan, Muslims then feast. They gather at the mosque or at homes and start feasting in celebration of the fact that they have offered a sacrifice to Allah, that being abstaining from sexual intercourse and food from the morning hours, from sunrise till sunset. So in one sense, it's a celebration, but in another sense, it's also a sacrifice that is offered in the worship of Allah.
Fasting in the Christian tradition, and I think going back to the Old Testament tradition as well, is generally associated with repentance for sin. Is there a corollary here in Ramadan celebration for the Muslim?
Yes, the Muslims are taught that in this month of Ramadan, the gates of paradise are open. That's according to a narration attributed to Muhammad. And the gates of hell are closed, and then if you fast sincerely and turn towards Allah and worship, Allah will forgive you of your sins. So in the month of Ramadan, it's considered a holy month for several reasons, in that Allah's mercy is poured out in abundance, and if people are fasting as an act of sacrifice, their sins will be forgiven, and Allah will favor them and be pleased with them. So there is a connection with repentance and forgiveness of sin.
It's interesting. Should we equate that forgiveness of sin with the same kind that the Christian confesses is ours in Jesus Christ?
There are some similarities, but profound differences. And one of the differences is that in Islam, Muhammad denied substitutionary atonement or vicarious atonement. As Christians, we believe that we are forgiven if we turn towards God in faith because of what Jesus did on the cross, that he died on the cross for our sins, thereby appeasing the wrath of God, turning his wrath away from us, so that now he's made God propitious towards us. That's an alien concept in Islam. In fact, Islam denies the death of Christ on the cross. Islam pretty much teaches that if you believe in Allah and you seek to obey him, then Allah will forgive you of your sins without demanding punishment for the sins that you've committed. In other words, he does not demand payment for sins committed, provided You believe and seek to do good works and ask for his mercy. So there are some similarities in that both religions insist that you need to turn towards God in repentance, ask for his forgiveness, and believe in him and his revelation. However, in Christianity, the basis for our forgiveness, the reason why God can look upon us with favor, is because Jesus died on the cross as payment for our sins. So that concept is completely foreign and alien to Islam.
I mean, on the subject of forgiveness, yet again, is the forgiveness believed in and allegedly dispensed by Allah, is it arbitrary then?
Precisely.
Essentially?
In fact, yeah. In fact, if you study the oldest sources on Islam, Muhammad was a predestinarian in that he believed that Allah arbitrarily chose people whom he would save and created people he would destroy. So in Islam, when you hear a Muslim talk about that we are saved because of the mercy of Allah, something taught in the Quran, what that basically means is that it is up to Allah to choose whom he will save and whom he will forgive and whom he will damn. And that's something he's already decided before he has created mankind. Now, I know that may sound somewhat similar to certain Christian belief systems. However, we believe on the basis of Scripture that God, if he's going to give us what we deserve, all of us deserve hell because we're born corrupt and sinful and deserve destruction. None of us deserve the grace and mercy of God. So when God does show us grace, it's completely unmerited. We don't deserve it. But in Islamic theology, they deny that we are born sinful and deserving of wrath. So then why does Allah arbitrarily choose some for salvation and choose to condemn some others? Well, it's because he's arbitrary and capricious. He can do as he wants and no one can question him.
So is Ramadan one of those so-called five pillars that if you are genuinely a Muslim, you are expected to observe it your entire life long?
Yes, it's obligatory. It's one of those pillars that a Muslim must perform if he or she is a true Muslim. And Ramadan also has a special significance in that, according to the Quran and Muslim tradition, it was in the month of Ramadan that the Quran was revealed to Muhammad. And that's interesting because that tells you, even before Muhammad became a prophet, a so-called prophet, obviously as a Christian, I don't believe he's a prophet of the true God. But from the Muslim perspective, even before Muhammad started his prophetic ministry, he was already observing this fasting month. It was in the month of Ramadan that the Quran was supposedly revealed to him. According to the Muslim sources, Muhammad went to the Hira Mountains, which is located in Arabia, during the month of Ramadan, and fasting and contemplation on the deity. So that tells you, even before Islam, Ramadan was being observed by the inhabitants of Arabia. It was a fast that was honored by them, which Muhammad adopted and made it part and parcel of the Islamic faith. So Ramadan is special for several reasons. It was the month in which the Quran was sent down to Muhammad, supposedly, and it was the month in which Muhammad encountered the quote-unquote Gabriel, because according to Islamic tradition, it was Gabriel that came to Muhammad and commissioned him to be the prophet of Allah. So it holds great significance to Muslims for that very reason. And yes, it is obligatory because Muhammad made it mandatory for Muslims to fast in this month. You must do it. It's not a choice if you're a true Muslim.
Then ultimately, what if we were to put it in a nutshell, how would we describe the purpose of Ramadan, its observance, according to a devout Muslim?
Muhammad taught that in fasting you identify with the poor and less fortunate, those who don't have much to eat. So when you fast, it's a reminder that there are people in the world who are suffering and don't have plenty. So that it's, in a way, it's purifying. It purifies you and helps you to associate and identify with the needy and less fortunate. And the purpose is to drive you to be concerned with the less fortunate and try to meet their needs. Now, when I say that, obviously, we have to look at it from a Muslim perspective. When it talks about identifying with the poor and the less fortunate, it's talking about Muslims who are poor and less fortunate, because from the Muslim perspective, someone who embraces a religion other than Islam, that person is disgraceful in the eyes of Allah, that person is rejected by Allah, and that person is considered the worst of beasts. That's the description that the Quran gives to those who follow religion other than Islam. So although the goal of Islam, Ramadan, is to help Muslims identify with the less fortunate and needy from a Muslim perspective will always be Muslims, not non-Muslims.
So do you think, with only less than a minute here, Sam, before we close up, do you think that kind of the Western understanding of Ramadan is kind of part of our pantheon of celebrations that are kind of civic celebrations? The president, not only this president, but past presidents began in the White House marking the beginning of Ramadan officially by way of at least acknowledging that it was beginning. Do you think that betrays a complete understanding of what this really means in the Islamic world? Less than a minute, if you would.
Yeah. Well, yes. The very fact that you had the president congratulating Muslims on their fasting month is an indication that Islam is here to stay. Because of our policies and immigration, Muslims are here. And because they're here and because of the freedoms afforded to them, Ramadan is going to be part of the celebration of the Western culture. And that's something that it's here to stay. And I think as Christians, we need to realize that and then also pray that God will use us as a witness to bring to them the life-transforming gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Ramadan is here to stay. Muslims are here to stay. And I believe that God brought them to our shores so that we can be a witness to them with the only message that can save them. Because Islam cannot save. Only Jesus Christ can save.
Sam Shamoon is a native of Kuwait, a key staff contributor to answering-islam.org. Sam, thank you again for being our guest.
Thank you. Lord bless you.
Last time I checked here at our Facebook fan page, we had topped 1,900 fans at the Issues Etc. Facebook fan page. We're aiming at 2,000, and then beyond that, who knows? 2,000 has been pretty easy to achieve. We got 100, less than 100 more to go. If you know of someone who likes Issues Etc. but is unaware of our Issues Etc. Facebook fan page, there they can get previews of what we're talking about sometimes during the program. I think I even was able to post a picture there during the program today. It is facebook.com/issuesetc. facebook.com/issuesetc. The Issues Etc. Facebook fan page. Go there, become a fan. When we come back, your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line to round off today's program. Stay tuned.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Issues Etc. is listener supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. Issuesetc.org.
Have you heard of the CLCC, the Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission? We're deeply involved in providing seminars to build up Christ's church with education and training for the laity. So far, we've held seminars on confessional topics at churches in Minnesota, Utah, Oregon, and Washington, and planning is underway to hold seminars in several other states coast to coast. Visit theclcc.org. Check us out. Get on the mailing list, or better yet, join us. See how your church can host a seminar, too. Go to theclcc.org.